Our sermon text this morning is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
All right, let's pray. God, we are so thankful for a morning that we can gather to pray. We've had the privilege of praying together as your people, and we pray to you now because we not only know our need, but we know of your great desire that we be people of prayer. And so we pray you'll help us today, as it were, to see our need of prayer and to pray as you would have us to pray. So help us now as we open your word, open our hearts, open our minds, that we can see and understand what your word says, and to be helped by your word and spirit to respond to your word as you would have us to. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are still in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've jumped a fair distance. We started with the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and we started with the Beatitudes. And now we're skipping over a bit to the Lord's Prayer, and that's where we'll be spending our next several weeks. And I think as you end kind of any series, any section of the Bible, it's a good time to evaluate how things are going with you. I think that's actually good every time you read the Bible. How did I match up to what the Bible just said? And so as we end the Beatitudes, I want us to think for a bit, to think about what the Lord just said in the Beatitudes. And perhaps if you see in your own life the Lord is creating in you, making of you the kind of person that is more characterized by the Beatitudes, I think that's a good time to praise God for that. Right? If he's making you more of a peacemaker, if he's helping you to hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? If he helped you to see that you desperately need him and is making you poor in spirit, if you see the Lord doing those things in your life, now's a great time to just say, thank you, God. Thank you that you're doing these things in my life. But the reality is, for every one of us, nobody comes through a sermon on, this is the way that we're supposed to be with like, oh, wow, that's great. I didn't expect that I matched up perfectly, but here I am, the perfect example of what a Christian's supposed to be. None of us come through looking at the Bible with a perfect record. Wow, there's nothing to confess in my life. None of us does that. And if we come through that, it probably just means that we weren't really even listening, or we weren't even really paying attention to what the words actually meant. We all come through with a little bit of, oh, I see where I still need the Lord's help. Oh, I see where I still need to make these things a matter of prayer, because although I've made some sort of progress, there's still plenty of work to go. And again, this is just a good time for you to sort of pause and having praised the Lord for what you have seen, pray to the Lord for what has not yet reached, honestly, what the Lord would want to see in your life. And again, that is also a perfectly reasonable part of the Christian life. Both parts are there. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for bringing me thus far. Now continue to do this work in me. All right, well, sorry about that. Okay, so what we want to be is the kind of congregation where if you don't match up, maybe to put it this way, our tendency when we don't match up is to basically want to hide that from everybody. And as a matter of fact, our tendency is not only to hide that from everybody, but at certain points to basically think, you know what, I shouldn't go to church until I start getting things going in the right direction, then I can go and hang out with the people who are trying to serve Jesus. And I just want to tell you that when you're kind of at your lowest, when you're sort of doing your worst at doing what Jesus wants you to do, where you most need to be is church, and that we as a congregation mean to be the sort of church that is sort of a welcoming place for you when you're at your lowest. And that what we would want to say to you is, do not make the mistake of thinking that you just need to start doing better for 3 or 4 weeks, and once you get back on track, then you can start coming. And I want to just tell you as a pastor, if we've ever given you, if something that I've said as a pastor has led you to think you need to spend some time getting your life together before you come here, then I'm sorry about that, because that's exactly the opposite of what I want to communicate. What I want to communicate is, I know that it's hard because I sometimes have a hard time. But what I most need when things are hard is to not stop coming to church, but to go all the more. That's what you need, and that's why the Lord gives you a church and people around you to rally around you and to say, we can't fix you, but let's help the way we can. Right? Let me come alongside you, put my arm around you, and honestly, we might work with you for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we're still not getting anywhere, but oh, the comfort of having other brothers and sisters around you who love you and are trying to help you on the way instead of you stumbling and staggering and trying to figure it out on your own. And so the Lord's purpose for us as a congregation is to be the congregation that when you tell us that you're not doing so great, we don't go, how dare you? I can't even imagine. But we're the kind of people that say, let me pray with you. Let me help you. Let me not take you and make you feel worse for having told me, but let me just put my arms around you and pray with you and say, let's together seek the Lord that he might help us. And that's the way we have to respond to sin in our own lives. Our tendency is, I'm going to hide it so that nobody knows, and that's the very worst thing to do. It's like your doctor told you you've got cancer, and you decided to tell nobody and never go to the doctor, when the best thing you could do is go get the treatments. And when we're not doing well spiritually, the worst thing you can do is to just keep it to yourself and keep away from church. Go to the Lord. Be honest with him, and honestly, be honest with those around you who, again, we can't fix everything. I mean, I can't even fix myself a lot of the time, right? But certainly, together, we've learned something along the way, and can't we help each other, and shouldn't we? Well, this is a good time, then, after thinking about the Beatitudes, this is a good time to pray, to make prayer. The reason we're moving here is because I want to tell you that you need each other, but I just want to say then corporately, we all need the Lord. So even as the solution is, in part, get the benefit of the community all together says, we all need God to help you, because I need God to help me. So there'll be no sense in which if you came and told me your trouble, I would go, I've actually got a solution for you. Listen to me. That wouldn't be what I would say. I would say, the Lord has a solution for us. Let us go to the Lord. And this is, again, why we pray. We pray because we are so weak. We pray because we do not have all the answers. We pray because we can't do it, but the Lord can. And so I want to encourage you to pray. Our text here is about prayer. Prayer is essential to the Christian life, and I just want to say this without any... I'm not exaggerating, I don't think, in any way when I say this. A church without prayer is a church without any power. Like, if you hope that the church is going to get somewhere on the power of your skills or on the power of my skills, that's our problem. You thought you would get us somewhere. You thought I would get us somewhere. No. Pray for me because I can't get us anywhere, but God can. Pray for you because you can't get us anywhere, but God can. But if we prayerlessly go about just doing the religious stuff, we are going to be stuck right here. We will not move forward at all. We'll likely move backwards. Because every single one of us is in desperate need of power that is beyond us, and that power that only God himself can give us. And once you realize that, you will make prayer a greater priority. And so my prayer for us is that this sermon series, the Lord would stir us up as we confront His Word and what He wants us to be doing, that we would become men and women of prayer. Just that all across this church, you'll see the Lord working in your heart to make us more prayerful. Make prayer a greater practice in our daily routine. We need God's help for all kinds of things that are beyond us. Souls cannot be saved in our strength, but only in the Lord's, right? You becoming stronger spiritually is only by God's power, right? If we are all going to love God more and each other more, we're going to need God's help. If we're going to love our unbelieving neighbors more, we're going to need God's help, right? If we're going to have sound doctrine and move from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, as the Bible talks about, we're going to need God's help. If you're going to be more regular in your Bible reading, you're going to need God's help. If you're going to be more regular in your prayer life, you're going to need God's help. There's really no area in which God wants us to be growing in which we won't need God's help to do it. And again, I hope by not belaboring the point, but just trying to make it as clear as I can, you and I desperately need to pray more. Because every single day, every moment, we need the Lord. Now, our text, while telling you to pray, actually warns you, and this is where we have to begin because this is Jesus' words, warns you that you can pray in the wrong way. And that's where we begin because that's what the text is about. It's about you can pray in the wrong way. Maybe you didn't know you could pray in the wrong way, but you can, and let's talk about it a few minutes right here. Don't pray to be seen. Let me show you and draw your attention to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, by the way, this is a cluster of teachings that Jesus has at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. And he begins Matthew chapter 6 just to set up this cluster of three. He begins chapter 6 with this verse, chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. So the theme of the cluster of three I'm going to talk about is people are doing things just to be seen. And then Jesus basically says, some people give money so that people can see them give money. Ever met anybody like that? They're only giving so that you can see them giving. Or some people are only praying so that you can see that they pray. Or some people fast. They abstain from food and walking around looking really glum and dreary so that you can say, are you by chance fasting? And, oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, I am. Right? And so that they can be seen by you to be fasting. And the Lord says, if you are giving or praying or fasting so that people will see you, then the only reward you will get is that they actually did see you. That's it. That's all you're getting. Now, what's left unsaid, but we should understand, is actually if you don't pray or give or fast in that way, you might actually get a blessing from the Lord. But because you didn't do it for the Lord, but you did it for the people, the Lord will be giving you no blessing, and the only blessing you'll get is that somebody actually saw you. And it's a warning that Jesus is not limiting to prayer, although that's our text today. It applies to prayer, but also applies to giving and also applies to fasting. And so Jesus is saying, and Jesus, he just knows us. He knows that part of us wants to give for him and part of us wants people to notice that we do what we do. And he wants you to put an end to that second part, the part of you that just is doing it so people see you. And I think for a lot of us, we probably don't do it just to be seen. We do it for the Lord, and we wouldn't mind if people saw. And even there, the Lord is wanting you to squash that part of you that also wants everybody else to happen to notice that you give a lot, or that you pray a lot, or that you fast pretty often. So again, you then need to ask yourself, why are you praying? Why did you pray right then and right there? What was going on in your mind? What led you to pray at that moment? And again, the idea isn't that you're praying to men, but you're praying for men, for them to see you. And that's again what was going on there. They're praying so as to be seen. And what the Lord is trying to get at here is, and we get at this pretty often because the Bible gets at this a lot, the Lord doesn't just care what you do outwardly, He cares what's going on inside of your heart, doesn't He? He cares about your motives. So it's not enough, and this just, by the way, this will just prove how much you need a Savior. Because you by yourself can move yourself from not giving to giving, or from not praying to praying, but only the Lord can get you from not wanting to give so that people see you, but wanting to give even though Jesus is the only one who sees that you give. He alone can change your heart so that you would want to pray for the right reasons, want to give for the right reasons, don't care if anybody ever knows, willing actually to go a little bit out of your way to make sure that they don't know because you honestly don't care if anybody knows, and the part of you that does want people to see, you want to squash so that honestly you're just living before the Lord and His approval is all you seek. Now, for your heart to change like that, you think you're going to change your heart like that? No, you need Jesus. You need the Lord to change your heart. You need to pray about this. Because the Lord alone can change your heart. But here we're saying, and Jesus is clear about it, why you do it matters. And you can do lots of great things, and it won't get you anywhere with the Lord. Give a bunch. You can give $100, $10,000, you can put $1 million check in the plate today. And if you put $1 million in the plate today, and you did it so people would see you do that, the Lord would not even give you even a single, I don't know how you measure blessings. Ounce of blessing, I don't know if that's right. Currency, right? But nothing. Because you did it so you'd be seen, and the Lord says all you get is people seeing you. But nothing from the Lord. And if all that you want is for people to see and you don't care what the Lord thinks, then I guess you're on the right track. But isn't that a dangerous track? Isn't that an unbelieving track? Isn't that a faithless track? Isn't that the track that's leading to hell? Shouldn't you care what the Lord thinks? Of course you should. So we must deal with our own hearts. The other thing I want to highlight here is your need for discipline. One of the things that we see, as we just got done saying, you're going to need the Lord to change your heart, right? We talk about this a lot here. You need the Lord to change your heart. But the truth of the matter is, just because the Lord changes your heart doesn't mean everything's smooth sailing going forward. And this is perhaps one of those things that's under-talked about in the Christian world, but I just want to talk about it for a few minutes. It's right to be disciplined as a Christian. One of my favorite verses when I was a new Christian, I printed it up and hung it up on the side of a filing cabinet when people used to need filing cabinets. And it's this verse, two verses from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is from the New American Standard. It says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for only old women, but on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." Let me say that again. You discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Do you want to be godly? Has God put in your heart a desire to be godly? And I hope that He has. He has put within your heart some glimmer, some desire. Maybe it's not as strong as it used to be, but He has, in saving you, given you a bit of a desire to be godly. And for you to become godly, you're going to actually have to be a disciplined person. Right? And the very next verse says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come." So what's going on here in 1 Timothy is basically a comparison between spiritual strength and physical strength. Right? And we understand the spiritual, the physical strength part, don't we? If there are certain people who want to be in shape, and what do? Well, they tend to actually go to the gym. But you know what they're doing? I mean, they want to be in shape. They have that desire. But they actually go to the gym, and oftentimes they're going to the gym when they don't want to. They're going on a run when they don't really even feel like it. Well, why would they do that? Well, because they have something in them that generally wants to get physically healthy, but they know they're going to have to be disciplined in order to achieve that. They're going to actually have to, some days they're not going to feel like it. They're going to feel too tired. They don't feel like doing what they need to do, and they're going to go do it anyway. And I just want to tell you that there's a good correlation between that and the Christian life. There's part of us that wants to be godly, and then part of us that would just rather watch the TV instead of read our Bibles. And the verse saying, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, is sometimes, even when you just feel like vegging out, you ought to pick up your Bible. You ought to pray. Because the part of you that wants to be like God, to be holy, as he calls you to be holy, is there. But it's not one of those things you just put on autopilot and the next thing you know, you're godly. Just any more than you just say, oh, I think I want to be healthy. And, you know, 6 months later, all of a sudden you've lost all this weight and you're really buff. It just never happens that way physically, and it never happens that way spiritually. It actually takes discipline. And so we have to be willing to do, in a sense, what we don't want to do sometimes. Because we know it fits a goal that the Lord has put within us, a longing to be like Christ. But you're not going to stumble into it. You're not going to slip into holiness. Discipline. It's a biblical concept. And so, we're just talking here about our need for prayer. And isn't this true then? We need God's help. This is the prayer part is, I need God to change me. And one last thing before I move on to the next point is this. And it may be unexpected to you. Sin can be especially seen when you try to become godly. Let me explain. For many of us, you will not be surprised to know that if you just stop going to church and stop trying and start living like the world, sin can be easily seen in your life, right? Because you've kind of set yourself on a trajectory away from God. There's God. I'm just going to not go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to even try. I'm just going to keep on going this way. And not surprising, in that person's life, we see lots of sin. But what you don't often think about is if you turn around and say, okay, I'm going to live God's way, that sin could also be seen there, but actually it is seen there. That's one of the things that this text teaches us, right? It's when you decide, I think I'm going to start giving more, that you'll see that sometimes you're just giving so people see you. And you're like, oh man, there's sin everywhere, right? There's sin everywhere. Right? It's the people who are trying to do the right thing who see the sin that they just want to give so people can see them. Or they just want to pray so that they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to move in God's direction. And yet still sin is showing up in unexpected ways. But don't be surprised about that either. You're going to see sin if you walk away from the Lord. And you're going to see sin if you walk toward the Lord, because sin's everywhere, which again just proves you need a Savior. But don't be surprised then that you see sin. And don't think, this is, I think, a mistake a lot of people make. Because I'm trying to do the right thing, there's no sin in it. God knows my heart, or something to that effect. No, even when you're trying to do the right thing, even if you decide you're going to start giving money when you used to not, it's not true that everything going on inside of your heart is just perfectly fine and honoring God. Sometimes you can give for the wrong reasons. Sometimes you can pray for the wrong reasons. And too often we just give ourselves just a pat on the back. I did the right thing. I gave today. Couldn't be any sin in that, and the Lord is saying, actually, there can be. I'm praying more, so there's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. That's 100% on the good column. No, actually, if you're praying so that people see you, that's in the bad column. Good for you for trying to pray, bad for you for praying so that people will see you. We need to move on. Pray to your Father. Verse 6. When you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Actually, what I'm going to end up doing right now is I'm going to do an unusual thing. I'm going to call the sermon short. I'm less than halfway through, and I'm more than halfway through it with my time. So I actually am going to let the sermon sit where it is, and we'll pick back up next time. So let me try to summarize with an unwritten summary about what we've seen so far, because I think it's important. I think the Lord means for you and I to make prayer a priority. A lot of times I just preach through books of the Bible, And we just, whatever shows up. And I went out of my way to pick an opportunity to preach on prayer because of a statement I made earlier, which is, I think a church without prayer has no power. And I just want you to know, I'm just very convinced about that. And I just want, just as an open confession, I need to be more prayerful than I am. I need a sermon series on prayer. And maybe you need your pastor to say that. Maybe you need your pastor to say, look, I don't know. I hope I don't let on like I do everything perfectly, because I know I don't. Right? We're all aiming in the right direction. I stand up here and tell you what Jesus wants you to do, and then I go home the week beforehand or the week after saying I don't match up. And that's just the Christian life. So what I don't, maybe this is helpful to you, don't think that I've arrived. And then don't you think, well, people have arrived, so I haven't, and there must be something terribly wrong with me. No, you struggle with sin, and I struggle with sin, and honestly, let's struggle together. Now, let's not become the sort of place that says, well, the pastor doesn't pray the way he should, I don't either. Let's not even worry about it. Let's not become that congregation where we don't even worry about it. Let's both say there's something wrong with us, and we both know where to go. Let the Lord set our agenda and trust the Lord to get us there. Right? That's what we need. We need more of it. But let's not pretend that we are all prayer warriors. And there might be some prayer warriors in this room, but, I mean, there's no way any of us believes that every single person in here is a prayer warrior. So let's be thankful for the ones we have, but let's say, I think the Lord wants more of us to be that. And let's just say, we'll take, in the Lord's kindness, a sermon series on praying more to actually take our own prayer lives more seriously. Maybe the Lord can stir us up to do that. So we'll just end with that sort of a challenge and that sort of reality. That's where we want to go. And then just pray for the Lord's help to get us there. Okay, let's close in prayer now. Thank you, Lord, for just the reality that we can openly confess that we have not arrived. We want to be better than we are. We want to be more faithful in the Word. We want to be more faithful in prayer. Thank you that we can admit that we have not arrived because our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, but then let us not fail to say that we sin by being prayerless. And may we look to you and know we need a heart change. We need a heart that's more inclined to prayer than it is. And God, you must change us. Please change us. We are desperate for you to change us. We don't want to be a church that just goes through the motions. We don't want to be a church that is powerless. We don't want to be a church where people aren't getting saved. We don't want to be a church where saints are not growing in their faith. We don't want to be a church. And Lord God, I'm thankful that we do see fruit here. But Lord God, I'm hopeful. Perhaps even, hopefully in a godly way, greedy, that we might be even more godly, and that we might reach even more people, and that we might disciple even more faithfully. Lord, stir us up. But I pray now that you would stir us up by sending us to our knees. Lord, teach us to pray. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.